Bhagavad Lila, Chapter 81, 10th Canto. Sri Krishna blesses the Brahmin Sudama. Lord Hari perfectly knows the hearts of all living entities, and he is especially devoted to the Brahmanas. In this Chapter 81, Krishna accepts food from Sudama, and without Sudama's knowledge rewards him with unlimited treasure to repay his debt to him. Verse 1 and 2 use the phrase sarva bhuta mano abhigya. Since Krishna knows the minds of everyone, he immediately knew that his friend Sudama had brought some flat rice for him, but was ashamed to present it. Krishna smiled at this moment, thinking, "Yes, I am going to make Sudama, I'm going to make you show what you brought for me." Krishna's smile then turned into laughter as he thought, "How long are you going to keep this precious gift hidden in your cloth?" Krishna looked at the bundle hidden under Sudama's garment. Then with his loving glance, Premna Nirikshanena, Krishna conveyed, "Sudama, the veins showing through your emaciated skin and your ragged clothes are astonishing everyone in Dwarka. However, these symptoms of poverty which you are displaying today will last only until tomorrow morning." Although Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the supreme independent Lord, he happily reciprocates with those who are Priyam, his cherished servants. Being devoted to the Brahmanas, Krishna especially enjoys favoring them because they possess unconditioned devotion to him. Bhagavan said, "Sudama, have you brought anything for me? I surmise that you, having such affection for me, would not come empty-handed so far from your house all the way to Dwarka to see me, who have such affection for you." Sudama replied, "I am very embarrassed to show what I have because it is very meager." Krishna responded, "Even if my devotee offers only a little with pure love, it becomes plenty for me." Text 4, 81. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Sudama, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, I will accept it. Sudama said, "Krishnaji, when I took this from my house to present to you, I did not think about it at all. But now I think that it is unsuitable for you to eat, so I am not giving it to you, Vishwanath." The present verse, number 4 in chapter 81, which Sri Krishna spoke, he also spoke in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 26. This verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, is Krishna's reply to Sudama's anxiety that his bringing such an unfit offering was ill considered. The phrases in this verse, 9:26 Gita and 81:4, 10th Canto, Bhaktya Priyachati and Bhaktyuparitam, may seem redundant because the word bhakti is repeated twice, and both these phrases mean offered with devotion. The word bhaktya can indicate how Krishna reciprocates the devotional mood of whoever offers him something with love. In other words, Krishna emphasizes here to Sudama that his reciprocation in pure love is not dependent on the external quality of what is offered. Krishna said, Sudama, something may or may not be tasty and pleasing in its own right. However, if my devotee offers it to me in love with the expectation that I will enjoy it, I eat it with great pleasure without thinking twice about it. The verb ashnami, I eat, implies that Krishna eats even a flower, which though acceptable is not edible, bewildered as he is by the ecstatic love he feels for his devotees. Because in this verse, Krishna's saying, he's listing four things. You can offer me with love and devotion. You offer me a leaf. He uses the word ashnami, which is translated as I accept it, but it actually means ashnami means to eat. So Krishna is saying all these four things are connected to this one verb. You lovingly give me a leaf, I'll eat it. You lovingly present me a flower, I'll eat it. You lovingly offer me a fruit, I will eat it. You lovingly give me water, I will eat it. Very extraordinary love the Lord has. And why is he saying that? He'll eat a leaf or a flower. Because Vishnu says that he's bewildered, prem vibram, by the ecstatic love that Krishna feels for his pure loving devotee. But someone may question, will you refuse an offering made to you by persons who are devotees of the demigods? Krishna answers, yes, I will refuse to eat it. I only eat from the hand of my devotee who has a pure heart, indicated in Gita 4:26, Prayata Atmanaha, and whose mind is fixed on devotion. I accept his offering and no one else's. Even after being addressed like this by Krishna, Sudama refused to give his four handfuls of chipped rice to Krishna due to the embarrassment he felt, thinking, how can the husband of the goddess of fortune, how can the lord of Sri eat this hard, tasteless, flat rice? Bowing his head in embarrassment indicates that Sudama revealed his meditation. Sudama was thinking with his bowed head, O my Lord, do not mock me. Though you have requested me many times, I have decided that I will not give it to you. But then on the other hand, Krishna was thinking, but Sudama, you are my devotee, so you should do as you decided to do when you left home and give it to me. 6 and 7, Sarabhutatma Drik Sakshat. Being the direct witness in the hearts of all living beings, Sri Krishna fully understood why Sudama had come to see him. He's also Krishna's the seer of all souls. Overwhelmed with love, momentarily wondered, though I know everything, how has my devotee Sudama become so poor? Then, quickly understanding the situation, Krishna spoke to himself the words related in verse 7. In the past, my friend Sudama has never worshipped me with a desire for material opulence. However, now he has come to me to satisfy his chaste and devoted wife. I will give Sudama riches that even the immortal demigods cannot obtain. Comments on 6 and 7. The result of performing bhakti without material desires is spiritual enjoyment, explained in Srimad Bhagavat 1:29. Dharmasya yapavargasya narto arta yupakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha. Translation. Dharmasya apavarga. All work, actions, and jobs and occupational engagements are certainly meant for the purpose of attaining ultimate liberation. Work should never be performed for material gain. The sages say that one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service, bhakti, should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Vishnath explains. There are two types of renounced devotees, nishkama bhaktas. One nishkama bhakta is inimical to sense gratification, and the other is indifferent to it. According to the different natures of these nishkam bhaktas, there are two kinds of results. The nishkam bhakta, who is extremely averse to worldly enjoyments, will not get such enjoyments from Krishna. Jad Bharat is an example of this type of nishkam bhakta, renounced devotee. On the other hand, Krishna may give limitless wealth and power to a nishkam bhakta who is neither repelled nor attracted by material things, such as Prahlad Maharaj. Up to this point in his life, Sudama was totally averse to sense gratification. He was this type of nishkam bhakta. But now, out of compassion for his faithful wife, and also because he hankered to see his dear friend, Priya Bandhu Sri Krishna, he went to Dwarka to beg from the Lord. Then again, Krishna was thinking to himself, even the desire of Sudama's wife was motivated by loyalty to her husband. The verse 7 has a phrase, pativrata. This means loyalty. It was motivated by her pativrata alone. Thus, Sudama's wife is also without personal desire at all. Therefore, I will give Sudama and his surrendered wife riches that even the immortal demigods cannot obtain. Thinking like this, Krishna snatched the flat rice which Sudama had hidden in a strip of old cloth tied around his waist. And Krishna said, "What is this? Do not think that this flat rice is unsuitable for me because it is stale and tasteless. I like it very much. Moreover, do not think it is not enough, for my eating of this flat rice from your hand will satisfy not only me, but the entire universe." Krishna ate one palmful, was about to eat a second, and Rukmini grabbed his hand. By doing this, Rukmini was implying, "My Lord, if you eat all this wonderful treat your friend brought from his house, what will remain for my friends, co-wives, sisters-in-law, servants, and myself? There will not be enough left to distribute even one grain to each of us. Even if I distribute one particle of rice to each person, it will not be sufficient." This was Rukmini's indication for Sudama. To her personal maidservants, Rukmini said by her gesture, "This hard rice will upset my lord's tender stomach." Through her eyes, Rukmini conveyed her intentions to Krishna, saying with her eyes, "My lord, you have eaten enough, so be satisfied with that and do not eat any more. O soul of the universe, Vishwatma, if you are satisfied, the whole universe will be satisfied." Krishna returned her eye speech by speaking through his eyes to Rukmini, saying, "In order to give my dear friend great wealth, I must eat more than one handful." Then with her eyes, Rukmini replies, "My lord, your satisfaction alone is the cause of one's increasing his wealth in this life and the next. Therefore, you need not chew much of this hard, tasteless rice. Rukmini's statement was communicated internally. It was not spoken externally. Because if it were, then Sudama would understand her words and not speak, verse 20 of this chapter. The Brahmana spent that night in Dwarka with Achyuta. Eating and drinking sufficiently, Sudama felt as if he had attained the heavenly planet Swargatam. The next day he set off for his home, feeling greatly delighted. Sri Krishna honored or respected Sudama by accompanying him on the road for a short distance to his home. Krishna is perfectly complete in his own bliss, Swasukena, text 13. And he is the maintainer of the universe, Vishwabhavena. Therefore, since Krishna can create the whole universe by his mere wish, what endeavor is it for Krishna to create a luxurious palace for Sudama? Krishna bounds in bliss. So how difficult is it for him to fulfill the desire of Sudama with unlimited joy? Although he had apparently received no wealth from Sri Krishna, Sudama was too shy to beg for it on his own. He simply returned home feeling perfectly satisfied to have had Krishna's darshan. Verse 15 to 18, Sudama expresses his bliss, which he was thinking as he left Krishna. I have directly seen Krishna's affection for the Brahmanas because he embraced me to his chest, the residence place of Lakshmi Devi. Who am I, a sinful, poor friend of a Brahman, Brahma Bandhu, and Krishna's Sareshwar Yapurna? I am so fallen that I am not even fit to be called a Brahman. Yet I was embraced by Krishna's arms. He treated me like a brother and set me on the bed of his consort Rukmini, and his queen fanned me with a chamara. Although Krishna is the lord of all the demigods, Devadevena, he worshipped me as if I were a demigod myself. Krishna massaged my feet and rendered other humble services. Devotional service to Krishna's lotus feet is the root cause of all perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions and on earth. Sudama was thinking, maybe Krishna was thinking, if this poor wretch, me, suddenly becomes rich, he will forget me in his intoxicating happiness. So that's why my compassionate Lord did not grant me even a little wealth. Thinking thus to himself, Sudama arrived at his home. As Sudama approached his home, he saw the effulgence of the place and thought, what is this? Seeing the palatial towers, he said, whose place is this? Finally recognizing it as his own house, he wondered, how did this happen? Some very beautiful male and female servants came forward to greet their fortunate masters, singing music, songs, and playing instruments. Seeing this, Sudama accepted the servants within his mind, deciding, it seems my Lord must want me to have these servants. Noticing the change in Sudama's attitude, the servants then approached him as their master. The night before Sudama's arrival, his wife went to sleep with a wasted, withered body and slackened breasts and worn-out clothes in a house with broken walls and a crumbling roof. When she woke the next morning, however, she found herself and her house wonderfully changed. For a moment, she was astonished. And then she concluded that all this wealth had been given to her husband Sudama by the mercy of Sri Krishna. Then she left her new palace to greet her husband. When that chaste lady saw her husband Sudama, her eyes filled with tears of love and eagerness. In her heart she embraced him as she bowed down to him. Amazed at the sight of his wife, who looked effulgent like a demigoddess. On the other side, Sudama still had his old cloth and protruding veins. Krishna kept him in this wretched state so that his wife would recognize him. His house was filled with hundreds of gem-studded pillars, just like Indra's palace. Sudama was simply astonished at the sight of his wife. "Who is this demigod's wife approaching such a fallen soul as me?" The maidservants informed him, "This is indeed your chaste wife." At that moment, immediately Sudama's body became young and beautiful, bedecked in fine clothing and jewelry. These changes gave Sudama considerable pleasure. Sudama and his wife then entered their house, or palace, which rivaled Indra's celestial abode in opulence. In the prayer Vishnu Sahasranam, the thousand names of Vishnu, which is in the Mahabharata, there's a shloka which describes Krishna, or Vishnu, as the one who brought the treasure of Indra to earth, or his devotee beggar Sridhama. Sridhama ranka bhaktartha bhumya ni tendra vaibhava. What Krishna won't do for his devotee. His house was ornately appointed with ivory beds inset with gold and couches with golden legs and golden asans, pearls, crystal glasses inlaid with emeralds. These were the lights of the palace. The women of the palace were adorned with precious gems. Sudama reflected upon the sudden increase in his fortune, and he thought, "The great opulence of me in this house has happened only by the glance of Sri Krishna. If Krishna had bestowed this wealth upon me, then why he did not tell me about it when we met in Dwarka? Certainly my friend directly speaks and gives abundant wealth to beggars like myself. I surmise that Krishna did not mention how he was going to fulfill my unspoken request, because at that time he was thinking, 'My dear friend has given me these grains of flat rice, which are greater than all the treasures I own.' Even though in his own house he had no such gift to bring me, he took the trouble of begging this rice from a neighbor. Therefore, it is only proper that I give him something more valuable than all my possessions. But nothing is equal to or greater than that what I possess. So all I can do is give him such meager things as the treasures of Indra, Brahma, and other demigods," Vishwanath says. Text 34. Embarrassed at being unable to properly reciprocate Sudama's offering, Sri Krishna bestowed his favor on him silently. Krishna acted just like a magnanimous rain cloud, which provides the necessities of life for everyone, near and far, but feels ashamed that its rain is too insignificant a gift to give in return for the abundant offerings that farmers make to it. Out of shame, the cloud may wait until nighttime, when the farmers are asleep before watering their fields. This is the position of Ghanashyam Sri Krishna, the best of the generous dynasty of Yadus. Bhagavan Sri Krishna considers even his greatest benedictions to be insignificant, while he magnifies even a small service rendered to him by his well-wishing devotee. Thus, with great pleasure, the Supreme Soul, Dwarkadish Sri Krishna, accepted one palmful of the flat rice I brought him, This is Sudama's thinking. Sudama continued to think, may I have affection toward Krishna, who is so compassionate to his devotees. Someone might ask, text 37, Vishwanath, so you have devotion, and the result of that devotion is gaining wealth? In 37, Sudama replies, saying, no, I do not have bhakti, and attaining material wealth is not the result of bhakti. A great saint like Prahlad Maharaj can avoid becoming contaminated by immeasurable wealth, power, and fame. But I must always be wary of temptation in my new situation. And what is the use of all this wealth? Although Sudama was surrounded by immense material opulence, he only enjoyed what was necessary to maintain himself. Fixed in his vows that he was following throughout his whole life, even before he got the palace, Sudama continued to sleep on the earth instead of opting for his opulent ivory gem-studded bed. Sudama became completely absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna and rendering other forms of devotional service. Krishna does not give as much material wealth as a neophyte devotee may desire, but only what will promote his spiritual advancement. However, some say that Krishna will give unlimited wealth to assist the devotional service of his premi bhaktas, loving devotees. Sudama remained fixed in his devotional determination because of his spiritual intelligence. He remained absolutely fixed in devotion to Krishna. Free from greed, he enjoyed the sense pleasures that had been bestowed upon him, but he was always thinking, when will I renounce all this sense gratification? Though Krishna is affectionate to his devotees, he is famous for being affectionate to the brahmanas. Namo brahmani devaya go brahmanitayacha. Krishna is the supreme master of everyone, yet Krishna accepts the brahmanas as his masters, Prabhu. Even though Krishna is the god of all gods, the brahmanas are his deities. Krishna is the master of all sacrifices, yajnapate, but he happily worships the brahmanas. Verse 40 will show how Sudama got free from material attachment and attained the everlasting true wealth of Krishna's abode in the spiritual world. Seeing that the unconquerable Lord Sri Krishna is conquered by his servants, Sudama returned to his previous nature and fixed his mind in meditation on Lord Sri Krishna. Shrideva Goswami describes Sudama's ultimate perfection in text 40. Evam savipro bhagavat saritada tristva sabritya ajitam parajitam tadhyana vegod ratitatma bandhanas tadhama lebe chirita satam gatim. Thus seeing how the unconquerable Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is nonetheless conquered by his own servants, Krishna's dear brahmana friend Sudama felt the remaining knots of material attachment within his heart being cut by the force of his constant meditation on the Lord. Tadhyana vego grantas, pushings, not like pushings. Thus, Sudama attained Krishna's supreme abode in the spiritual world, the destination of great saints. Text 41 is a shrutifal or a benediction or blessing verse for anyone who has heard chapter 81 of the 10th canto. Sugadev says, etad brahmanya devasya shutva brahmanyatam nara labdha bhavo bhagavati karma bhandat vimuchyate. The Supreme Lord Bhagavan Sri Krishna always shows brahmanas special favor. Anyone who hears this account of Sri Krishna's kindness to the Brahmanas, especially Sudama, will develop a deep love for Krishna, and thus he will become freed from the bondage of material work. Karma Bandha Vimukti.